Throw the merchants out of the church, they're begging for a king-size downfall. Beggars in the street because of y'all. Let it be known that dirty business made the world trade fall. Not terrorism, but businessism itself. Like the media, putting war flicks on your shelf. A lot of wealth in your daily news and TV too. Papers, capers, congressmen are just escapers, it's true. Yeah, but while the refugees go,
I'm back. This is the Fred McChesney Show here on Air America Phoenix, the new Air America Phoenix, 1480 KPHX. It is my distinct pleasure to have three, boy, amazingly young guys who have done what they've done so far. The guys who created, we have Dylan Avery, who's the writer and director, and you're almost all the voice that we hear in that, right?
Yeah, I am the voice.
He is the voice of Loose Change.
I'm a little sick today, so I might sound a little off. Oh, I'm a little sick today. I might sound a little bit off.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then next up is Corey Rowe, producer. So you're the one who made it. Did you do the effects with a...
No, that's all Dylan. He does everything. I'm the producer. I make the phone calls and set things up.
Oh, okay. All right. And Jason, you're the webmaster researcher, so a lot of people are going to be calling you. Are you the encyclopedic one?
Well, you know, I've got a lot of information pertaining not only to 9/11, but, you know, similar issues. So, you know, mm-hmm. I, you know, that's where I come in. I get a lot of footage and stuff like that. Dylan cuts it all together and makes it look pretty.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, the phones are already starting to fill up, and I think that's good. And what I'm hoping for, I want to put this out to the audience, is that I'm hoping not to have sort of the lame sort of where you guys from questions and everything. Leave the lame questions to me. That's my job as a host. We want you guys to ask the really good questions, ones about anything from melting points of various, melting points of steel and burning, you know, combustion, things like that. What was in, what actually happened? What about the Pentagon hole? You know, anybody's... So we're looking for sort of the people who are into this. You know, we want to see if we can move the ball a little bit here. So I'd say we just start taking calls.
Sounds great.
Much, you know, see what happens. So first up is going to be Leonard in Glendale. Hey, Leonard, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'm a first-time caller to your show, and I was also at the last appearance of the... movie there, and it was quite astounding to see over 400 people show up. But besides the fact, I'm also a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate here in Arizona, so I thought it was rather interesting to watch, because as I'm going to debates and people are asking me about the 9/11 Commission, after seeing that movie, I can't conclusively say, hey, did George Bush put bombs in the World Trade Towers? But I'll tell you what, after seeing that movie and seeing the evidence and the fine job these young men did, I can tell you, they've got to do something, and they've got to reopen that 9/11 commission or start something. We don't need another Warren Commission, you know, appointed by certain leaders. We need to look at what really happened. After seeing this, the evidence is there that there is a lot of stuff.
What struck you about the movie? Did anything stand out for you that really may have really changed your mind?
Well, especially the Pentagon evidence, where the hole in the building. Actual details, you know, when the World Trade Towers were falling, comparing those to actual buildings that were brought down on purpose, you know, that are brought down on purpose by actual people who do that, demolitions, that really struck me. A lot of the actual evidence in the writing and the various organizations that Mr. Rumsfeld and these other people belong to that would directly profit off such things. Mm-hmm. You know, a new Pearl Harbor, that's one of the things that really struck me. It would take a new Pearl Harbor to really get things going, and boy, did the military-industrial complex get it. So I'm just glad they did it. I can't say I'm 110% sure that they actually sent military squads in there, but when they're denying that a 9/11 commission now, that they had, what was it, Able Danger, or Danger Able Team?
Mm-hmm. Yep, Able Danger.
3 hours they testified to the top generals in the Pentagon were given a briefing on this, debriefing on bin Laden, and yet they were told they could not testify before the 9/11 Commission. I'm telling you, something strange is going on. These generals are now starting to understand that they're in league with something very bad, and they know they have to stand up for the Constitution and their ethical responsibilities. So my mind is open now, and I call for a reopening of the 9/11 Commission or some other commission. Somehow the American people can trust. I don't know how that's going to happen after all of this.
All right. Thank you very much, Leonard. Thank you very much for calling. I'd like to ask you guys, if there were a reopening of the 9/11 Commission, what could be done differently so that they would get a better result, so that there wouldn't be a whitewash?
First of all, it would have to be truly independent. Mm-hmm. I mean, we couldn't have any ties to the Bush administration or even former administrations.
And by the way, we call them the Bush regime.
Yeah,
on this
well,
show,
obviously,
so.
You know. However, you know, I would also say that we couldn't look to the UN. It's pretty incredible to me when people say, well, maybe we should have an international community investigate that. I don't necessarily disagree. But when you look at the nations that make up the UN, you know, you have three guys here who have pointed out some major inconsistencies with the story. And not one intelligence agency in one country that belongs to the UN has gone public about any of this information. So how effective are they going to be able to be? I mean, to me, it's got to be, you know, independent American citizens who have nothing to gain or lose.
Has there ever been anything like that you can think of that we could base it on?
No.
Nothing comes to memory, I mean.
Yeah, but
what scared the hell out of me was when they said they were basing it on the Warren Commission. Oh, and you're like, well, what are you trying?
Again.
Right. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And we can't have what we had with the Kennedy assassination after the Warren Commission. About 13 years later, I believe they had the House Select Senate
Committee on Assassination,
yes.
Sure.
Yeah, and that didn't really turn up anything other than they said, yeah, there was a conspiracy. No one went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
No one was tried for anything. So, you know, let's say 13 years down the line, you know, we have this thing, and they say, yeah, it was a conspiracy, and we weren't fed the right information. You know, what is that going to solve?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's go next. Our phone numbers again, 602-258-8800, outside the area, 800-989-1480. Next up is Miles in Mesa. Oh, and I screwed up. Sorry, Miles. I normally don't do that. I'll get to you. You'll go first when I get, when if you go back. Next up is Paul in Sun City. Hi, Paul. You're on the Fred McChesney Show.
Hi, Fred. Yeah, I have a statement. I have a grandson, Samuel Adams McBroom, who was an eyewitness to the attack on the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer explains why there were no plane parts found. He's a big student, has been, of airplanes. And he was there on September 11th, and he said, teacher, teacher, look out the window. And she said, oh, and they were listening to the radio, yeah, an airplane just hit the Pentagon. He says, no, not airplane, bullet. So I take that as unassailable evidence of eyewitness that it was probably a rocket.
Interesting. Where was he located?
About a mile away from the Pentagon at a Montessori preschool.
Wow.
By the way, this is exactly the kind of stuff these guys really care about, because it's one thing that bothers almost anybody who studied this is we have nothing, no footage of the Pentagon, no footage anywhere.
And no plane parts.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. No engine even.
Uh-huh.
And even the inside pictures don't show any airplane.
They don't show any plane whatsoever.
And what happened to the people?
And by the way, let me do this right now. I want to put a challenge out to anyone who believes the official story of 9/11. If anyone anyone can explain the Pentagon, can explain why someone would talk to an operator, say, on Flight 93, can explain Building 7, I'd like to hear it, because these guys will rip you a new one if you bring that in here.
Well,
no, but I'm serious.
You're going to find them on Air America.
What's that?
You aren't going to find them on Air America.
Well, they used to come in here, but they never got the answers they wanted, so they went away.
Yeah.
Okay.
So glad you're back there.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I say let's just keep moving. Next up is Pam in Phoenix, 602-258-8800. Hey, Pam, you're on the Fred McChesney Show.
Hey, Fred, welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, and say hey to Steve Forrest. We miss him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear you back on the air. I'd like your guest to, and incidentally, I didn't get to see the movie Thursday. I was out of town, but I definitely want to catch up with it as soon as I can.
You do, and it's available on, where's it available on?
It's available, you can watch it right now at video.google.com and search Loose Change Second Edition. There's a whole bunch of different sources you can pick from. I mean, if you want to go out and go to torrentspy.com and download it or question 911, which has Loose Change Second Edition, First Edition, us on Fox News. I mean, and also go to our website and just pretty much you can read through the entire evidence at www.loosechange911.com.
911.com. Awesome.
Yep.
Thanks a lot. I'd like you to talk about the whole issue of a stand-down order, the military exercises. It is so difficult for me to believe that, you know, our Air Force was... this shouldn't have happened, just on that alone.
Absolutely.
Please go explain that.
All right, well, the first and original NORAD report had our jets going out at about 27% of their top speed. That should have raised red flags right there. Through, other researchers and great work, we now have 15 confirmed war games going on at the exact time of 9/11. And the ones that really interest me are the fact that CIA NRO building was running a drill at 8:45 in the morning of ramming a plane into a building. Meanwhile, NORAD is running a drill of 20-plus hijacked jets on their screen at the same exact time, and they also talked about interjected blips. So these things were going in and out of radar. When the actual hijacked jets were actually reported and you listen to the tapes, they immediately ask whether it's real world or an exercise, because they're pretty much exercising the same exact thing. And, through this kind of confusion and compartmentalization, this is how the military-industrial complex pulled this off.
Oh, my Lord. That sounds very contrived.
Man, you nailed that.
Very contrived. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you, Pam.
God bless.
Okay, I'm going to fit one in. Float this one, Mike, because I want to get Miles in because I dropped him earlier through my mistake. Again, our number is 602-258-8800 and 800-989-1480. Hi, Miles. Sorry I dropped you earlier. You're on the Fred McChesney Show.
Hi. Thanks for putting me on. I had four questions, but I'll ask the most important one. What is the objective to be accomplished by placing bombs in the towers other than a complete collapse? If plane impacts are sufficient to be considered an attack on America, the justification for war?
Well, supposedly, those bombs weren't there. I mean, according to the official version, there was never any charges placed inside the World Trade Center. And, I mean, it's a question of why they were in there, and why would they be in there, and why would you want to bring down the World Trade Center themselves? I mean, the World Trade Center was built in 1973 with asbestos and other, dangerous materials that aren't allowed in today's building world. I mean, they received numerous citations to clean up the building, and to do so would have cost over $1 billion. So, I mean, yes, running planes into the buildings would have been sufficient enough as an attack, but it wasn't the overall goal of at least Larry A. Silverstein, who owned World Trade Center Building 7 and leased the rest of the World Trade Center complex. It wasn't enough for him. I mean, now he's got prime real estate in downtown Manhattan after a $20 million investment turned into a $2 billion profit.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Go ahead.
After 60-plus intercepts in the previous year, what do you believe to be the contributing factor for failure by NORAD to intercept four hijacked airplanes by 911?
Well, I mean, in our movie, we start off with this timeline, and one of the very interesting things is, after 50 years of standard operating procedure, Dick Cheney signs a memo that says that only him and Rumsfeld have the ability to shoot down planes, when regular colonels and lieutenants in the military, if they assessed a threat, they would shoot these things down. So they made it not impossible for them to intercept them, but to shoot them down without their permission. And with the Mineta testimony to the 9/11 Commission, one of the few important things that made it through there, he was in a bunker with Cheney, and as the supposed plane that was hitting the Pentagon was 200 miles out, an MP was coming in and saying, it's 200 miles out, it's 150, it's 100, it's 50, do the orders still stand? And Mineta said, Dick Cheney snapped at him, and he said, of course the orders still stand, and moments later the Pentagon is struck. So I think it was very key to put it into the hands of both Rumsfeld and Cheney as the sole guys that could shoot down a plane months before 9/11.
I have a couple more, if you don't mind.
Yeah, these are good questions. Yeah. I'd like to keep going with these. These are really good. Sorry they're all ending up in your wheelhouse, but we'll get elsewhere.
NORAD averaged 2 or 3 war exercises a year in the decade prior to 9/11. Do you believe that, contrary to official reports, prior knowledge of top officials had anything to do with the 15 war exercises being practiced by NORAD on the single day of 9/11?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's too much of a coincidence that, supposedly 19 guys with box cutters were able to piggyback onto war games that were almost the same exact thing. I mean, take for instance, and let's just get off the subject of 9/11 for a moment, the 7/7 bombings in London. Out in London, Visor Corp, Peter Powers got on television, on Sky Television and BBC Radio, and he was asked, what can we do? Are we practicing this enough? Are we prepared? And he's like, well, actually, we were running a drill of blowing up the same 3 train stations at the same exact time. And, I mean, that is just beyond the pale.
Okay. Last one.
Okay. What, in your opinion, is the motive for authoring the attack, assuming 9/11 was an inside job?
Well, look at everything that they've accomplished since September 11th. I mean, you look at the Department of Homeland Security. You have the Patriot Act, which was obviously written well before September 11th. It was over a 300-page document. It was rushed through Congress in the span of less than a week. Actually, they voted on it overnight, right?
Yeah, and a lot of them didn't get to read it. And
a lot of them didn't even get to read it.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's there to squelch dissenters, you know, to false wars and profiteering, basically.
Yeah, it's basically a blank check to tap anyone and watch anyone and anything that they choose. I mean, it's ridiculous. And not only that, you've got the invasion of Afghanistan. Which, as Corey will tell you, if you look at the maps of the military bases in Afghanistan, they coincide directly with a $12 trillion a year natural gas and oil pipeline. It's ridiculous. I mean, these things are right in our face.
Not to mention that along with the companies that these people are shareholders in and board members. I mean, these are the companies that are over there. These are the companies that are getting the government contracts to supply our country with the materials needed for war for the next long war, however long, you know, we let this happen.
Yeah, I mean, Dick Cheney's still getting a fat check from Halliburton every year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I just wanted to comment on your video, Loose Change. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad you guys put it out there. I did notice one mistake. Instead of a B-52.
We corrected it on our website.
I was wondering if you're going to.
We called it. We actually called that right before the interview.
If there is a third edition, we're definitely going to change it. I mean, it's caused us such a headache.
Save all your calls about that.
Yeah, we're well aware.
We know about that.
All right. Okay.
Thank you, Zach. Okay, we're going out to break. This is the Frederick Jesse Show here on Air America Phoenix, KPHX 1480. I'm here with the three guys who did Loose Change Second Edition. Our phone numbers are 602-258-8800, outside the area, 800-989-1480, and I'll be right back. I'm back. This is the Fred McChesney Show here on Air America Phoenix, 1480 KPHX, the new Air America Phoenix. Our phone numbers are 602-258-8800 and 800-989-1480. And I'm here with Dylan Avery, Jason Burmis, and Corey Rofe. These are the guys who did Loose Change 9/11 Second Edition. And they're in studio, and we're taking your calls. And what we want are the best possible 9/11 questions you have. So that's what we want to hear. So, okay, next up is Caroline and Tempe. We take them in order. Hey, Caroline, you're on the Fred McChesney Show.
Hi, Fred.
Hi.
I wanted to ask the fellows if they had talked to Karen Kwiatkowski.
No, but I had that brought up to me. She was the one that was at the Pentagon on the scene,
yes,
and walked around and had not seen any debris or any plane anywhere, correct?
Right.
It's in the works. Definitely on this trip, I've had some great one-on-one conversations, and she's one of the people I've written down and, you know, on the list of contact.
Great, because she said they interviewed her for like 3 hours. And then never called her before the commission. She told them names. She told them what questions to ask.
Yeah, I believe that
she talked to.
I believe she's also on the documentary Why We Fight that we've been hearing a lot about.
Yeah, she's on several different things. That, you know, I've seen that also.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really worrying. But mm-hmm. There's so many Republicans who have come out. Notable Republicans who've come out about what this administration is up to and warning about a takeover.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra
Day O'Connor warned about dictatorship a little while ago.
But look at the list. We've got Paul Craig Roberts, and he's mm-hmm. talking. He's not shy about using fascism.
Well, he shouldn't be with this administration.
No, but, I mean, this is stunning because he's the assistant vice...
he's the father of Reaganomics. So,
Secretary of Treasury mm-hmm. under Reagan. Then there's Larry Wilkerson, who was chief of staff to Colin Powell from 2002 to January 2005. You got Ron Paul, Representative Ron Paul, Republican from Texas. Mm-hmm. Scott Ritter, the arms inspector. Larry Johnson, CIA. Pat Buchanan, for Christ's sake. I never mm-hmm. thought I would ever agree with him on anything. But he's worrying about it.
Right.
Ray McGovern.
Okay, can we come back to 9/11? You got a 9/11 question for the guys?
Yeah, well, basically it was about, you've answered some of the other questions I had, but it was just, I just wondered if they had talked to Karen Kwiatkowski.
Mm-hmm. Not yet, but, you know, we're working on it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Caroline.
Thanks.
We'll catch up with you another time. Okay, next up is going to, and I'm just going from one call to another, and the phones are ringing, so I figure we'll take as many as we
can. Absolutely, keep them coming.
Yeah, keep them coming.
Okay, yeah, and the guys look like they're tired after a long week, so it's just like, just keep them coming. So we can answer questions in our sleep, it sounds like. Next up is Brian from Salt Lake City. Hi, Brian. You're on the Fred McChesney Show.
Hi. I first just want to thank you guys for such a great 9/11 video that you made. We just had a showing at our college here, so a lot of people liked it.
Awesome.
And also, I'm with a group here in Utah called 9/11 Truth Seekers, and we met with Professor Stephen Jones on April 6th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you guys have probably heard about him,
of course,
right?
Of course, BYU professor, yep.
Mm-hmm.
For the brand new, yeah.
He said they're finding a lot more evidence of molten metal that was dripping out of the South Tower. Did you guys see that video?
There's one available video right now where we see molten steel pouring out of a small corner of the World Trade Center, and it's preceded by a collapse about 2 seconds later, Dylan?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, what they're trying to do is get samples of the metal from the towers to test it for...
It's not going to happen. It's in China.
Out of some Chinese skyscraper.
I was going to say, if you want to examine the World Trade Center, steal by a car.
Well, actually, you know, for those willing, I do know that there are a few exhibits that have some steel beams from the original World Trade Center out there. I believe there's actually one in Albany I've had my eye on. So, you know, anybody working in one of these museums, you know, you want to be a hero, get us a sample.
Yeah, then that's what they're working on there at BYU, and because they really think it might be thermite explosives that are in the building. So I was just wondering if maybe you guys were going to cover that in your third edition.
As soon as we have hardcore evidence, as far as we can cover right now, is just the molten steel in the basements of 1, 2, and 7 that is not only highly suspect, it's criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's what I wanted to bring up.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
You guys thinking about maybe interviewing Professor Jones for one of your videos?
If we can get a hold of him, he's on the list. I mean, there's a long list of people
we want.
Turns out this thing is fairly big.
Yeah.
It's a big free for three guys to get their arms around. So, thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.
Okay. I see no reason not to just
keep going.
Okay.
Keep coming.
All right,
keep
we're
going.
Doing, that's what we're doing. Next up, who's longest, is going to be Joe in Phoenix. Hey, Joe, you're on the air.
Hi, Fred. Hi, guys. I tune in a little late, but very interesting what you're doing. And no, I'm not going to call in and tell you who to interview. I think you guys got that down by now, knowing what you're going to do. I just got to ask you a question. And this whole thing, I still see it relating to, remember, this was 9/11 was the excuse for us to be in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
What, if any, relationship have you been able to deduce between Israel, Mossad, the art students, whatever, and 9/11?
Pretty much just what you said. We know that Israel warned us of a plan to hijack planes and ram them into buildings prior to 9/11. We know that there were the dancing Israelis that were reported on Fox News and actually held for a little while.
We also know that a bunch of Mossad agents in Hollywood, Florida were actually staying a block away from two or three of the alleged hijackers.
Yeah, and we also know that a Israeli business stopped a two-year lease two weeks before 9/11 and bailed. I think it cost them something like $20,000 or
$50,000
to do that.
Mm.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's nothing we can prove, and, I mean, we don't want to point fingers at Israel for a number of different reasons.
I mean, there were numerous intelligence agencies that warned us and seemed to have some kind of prior knowledge. You know, Israel just seems to be another one of those.
Exactly.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you. Thanks, Joe. One thing that interested me, we have about 30 seconds to break, is all that gold. I'd never heard it as figures anything like. So no one knows where that gold went,
no,
right?
Nobody has a clue.
No.
Oh, man.
We heard recently that the amount of gold that we said in it was so much higher, somewhere near over $1 trillion.
Yeah.
Could be. My God.
They found about $200 million.
Yeah, and the thing is with that, you're not going to leave $200 million in gold unless you're going to die.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is the Fred McChesney Show here on Air America Phoenix, 1480 KPHX. Our phone numbers are 602-258-8800 and 800-989-1480. We're here with the guys from Loose Change 2nd Edition. Give us a call, and we'll be right back.
Yeah. got a war for order, a war for gold, a war for money, and a war for souls. A war on terror, a war on drugs, a war on kindness, a war on hugs. A war on birds and a war on bees. They got a war on hippies trying to save the trees. A war with jets and a war with missiles. A war with high-seated government officials. Wall Street, war on high finance. A war on people who just love to dance. A war on music, a war on speech. A war on teachers and the things they teach. A war for the last 500 years. War's just messing up the atmosphere. A war on Muslims, a war on Jews, a war on Christians and Hindus. A whole lot of people saying kill them all. They got a war on Mumia, Abu Jamal. The war on pop is a war that's fair. A war that's filling up the nation's jails. World War 1, 2, 3, and 4. Chemical weapons, biological war. Bush War 1 and Bush War 2. They got a war for me, they got a war for you.
I'm back. This is the Fred McChesney Show here on Air America Phoenix, KPHX 1480, the new Air America Phoenix. Our phone numbers are 602-258-8800 and 800-989-1480. And again, it is my distinct pleasure to have Dylan Avery, Jason Burmis, and Corey Rowe from Loose Change 9-11 Second Edition here. They're answering your questions. The tougher, the better. We want the questions that you can't get answered elsewhere. If you've seen a few documentaries and there's some loose ends, you have some questions about Flight 93 landing in Cleveland, stuff like that. That's exactly the kind of stuff we want. So, and we're just taking calls. That everybody seems to be agreed that that's what we want to be doing. So next up is Tim in Denver, I assume Denver, Colorado. Hey, Tim, you're on the air.
Thank you. I have a question about the air defenses, but before I get to that, congratulations, guys, on making a very viscerally compelling movie at a very important time. I think as more and more people feel and sense the instability and the brutality of the government we have now, more and more people are going to be willing to watch it, and that is key. So the timing is very, very good. And are you guys going to be coming to other cities?
Oh, yeah. We're on a nationwide tour pretty much right now.
Any plans for Denver?
Not yet.
Denver.
I don't think we have Denver, Colorado yet.
Okay. Well,
I'm sure we will soon.
Yeah, but soon.
Okay, great. Thank you. I think the air defense information is very fascinating. I've read Michael Rupert's book, Crossing the Rubicon, which has been out for a while now, and at that time...
It better be for how long it is. It takes about a year to read.
That's what
thing.
I hear.
Yeah. He's aware, at that point, the publication of that book, of, I think, somewhere on the order of 4 or 5 war games going on. You guys are mentioning 15.
Yep, that Tarpley is now confirmed 15, but the original 4 or 5 were reported by Rupert.
Where's the best resource... site for really getting hard evidence to convince, because people roll their eyes, as you know. When you start talking about these things, people really, it's so shocking to them that they have a hard time with it, of course. And
yeah, absolutely. There's the two sites that come to mind. One, if you want to see every single minute of our movie backed up, the original articles and everything, just go to our website. Again, loosechange911.com. Click the evidence link in the top left-hand corner, and you can see the entire thing. For people who are agreeing to this information and who want to see everything in front of them backed up and ready to go, the one site I recommend is called Killtown. It's geocities.com/killtown, all one word, lowercase. I mean, the website's incredible. He's
incredible.
Got research on absolutely everything. I mean, that is the one website that really got me, really threw me down the rabbit hole, so to speak.
So in your opinion, is it in the public record that, I mean, we've heard a lot about false blips on radar screens.
Yep.
Now, those blips... Is it your sense that those are appearing on NORAD screens or on FAA screens by people that are actually doing air traffic control?
I think both, actually. I think it's a good possibility of both. I mean, you know, that would have caused the confusion. So, I mean, I want to know more about the war games, and Cynthia McKinney has Rumsfeld and Myers on the stand at one point in front of Congress in 2004 after she's already asked once for, you know, a written response to what the war games were, what was happening, the entire thing, and then she confronts them again about it and wants a written response. And when Myers actually answers the question, basically all she says is, no, they didn't interfere with us on 9/11.
Oh, yeah. In fact, they make the claim that it enhanced their preparedness.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It enhanced their ability to respond.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
If that's their ability enhanced, then there's a serious, serious problem.
Yeah, if all the planes were out of the sector, how could it possibly be in? And in fact, what we saw was planes, when it happened, flying out over the ocean.
Yep.
Kind of responding. So
Yeah, and then we got some distress.
Claim.
Yeah, and we actually heard some rumors of distress signals being set out over the Atlantic. So, again, that's another distinct possibility, but we can't come out and say that that's what happened, because, again, it's just theories.
Well, thanks, and keep up the great work.
Thank you.
We will.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't think you have to worry too much about that. Okay.
No.
Next song is up. There are no breaks on this program. Let's see. Phone number is 258-8800. Next up is Karen in Scottsdale. Hi, Karen. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you. Always had a simple question about 9/11. There are so many people in New York City who watch the planes fly in who have photographs. You don't have that in the Pentagon. You've got a huge metropolitan area. You've got tons of people with military angles who'd be looking at a low-flying plane going, what? It happened after New York City. Where are the photographs other than the security tape? I've never been aware of any.
There's actually, after Freedom of Information Act was issued, the FBI came back and said that there was 84 video cameras that would have captured the Flight 77 flying into the Pentagon. Not one of those videos has been released or shown to the public to prove that their statements that a plane hit the building when obviously that it didn't. And they say that the reason that they haven't released any of these videos was because of the Zacharias Moussaoui trial, which is currently going on right now. And I mean, I'm sure as soon as this trial is over, they'll come up with another excuse why they can't release these videos, because really I'd love to see it. But even when they do, and if they do release a video and it does show a plane hitting a building, I mean, they've had 5 years to come up with something, so I mean, I hope it's good.
I don't think they can, though, because I mean, what they describe in the 9/11 commission report is physically impossible. I mean, I would love to see them fake.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna have to fake a video where
it would require some serious work.
Where the wings fold in,
where
right
the wings
before
fold,
it
where the wings fold in. I mean, like all
everything
of it
sucks into a nice little tubular missile form.
Yeah,
exactly. Thanks a lot, appreciate it.
And I guess they thought nobody would buy that, so
yeah, I guess not.
Okay, let's see. Next is going to be Dave in Chandler. Hi, Dave. You're on the Fred McChesney Show.
Fred, how you doing?
Hey.
Oh, good. Dylan Avery, you did one of the greatest things, I guess, that's been done so far on 9/11. Probably maybe the most important thing that's been done. But, you know, when a lot of people look at this, and I'm not one of them.
And yet one of the other guys is getting all the women. Can you believe that?
yes.
Go ahead. threw him off.
A lot of people have problems with the passengers. I'm one of them, and I believe what I see in your film is true, and it's scary. But to people, when you talk about it to people, one of the biggest problems they have is what happened to the passengers. And the ones that hit the World Trade Center, you can kind of excuse away. They were crumbled by this concrete and so on and so forth, but they couldn't find the bodies. But with Flight 93, which supposedly was seen landing in Cleveland, and 77 that hit the Pentagon, no bodies. And actually, 93 was supposed to crash in Pennsylvania, but no bodies there either. On the plane that hit the Pentagon, Barbara Olson was supposed to be on that plane.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Olson, if I'm not mistaken, was the Solicitor General.
Correct. Yeah. Very correct.
About that. And before that plane hit, supposedly Barbara Olson called Ted Olson, her husband, and explained, you know, what are we going to do? There's hijackers, so on and so forth, and the plane hit. No bodies. And just another side to this, people have tested cell phones, and I've tried to call on a cell phone myself from airplanes, and I've never been able to connect with anybody from my cell phone on an airplane.
You know, I think you've raised enough. Do you have another question? Because I'd like the guys to take a whack at that whole set of things.
I just want to talk a little bit about that.
Well, honestly, the thing with the bodies and
thank you, Dave.
And the people is we didn't say that those people you know, are on those planes, and we shouldn't be the ones that have to prove it. The government is the people are saying that these bodies and these people were on the planes. Come and show us some pictures. Show us some body parts. Show us some identification that these people, you know, were actually there. And I'm not saying that a lot of these people, you know, weren't alive or weren't real, but it just comes to the fact of there are no bodies there. So explain to us why not, because there's seriously a problem.
We have major discrepancies in the flight list. Some people are on both flights. I mean, there's just so much information out there. I mean, the Barbara Olson phone call is suspicious in itself. It was said that she couldn't find her purse, so she couldn't call from a cell phone, so she had to use an airphone. However, everybody who uses an airphone knows that you need a credit card to swipe first so they can charge you, and she would have needed her purse to do that. So, again, you know, these phone calls are very sketchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd studied the Kennedy assassination years back, and they'll leave wide open things and then say, well, explain this. And you go, it's not my job.
I'm not the attorney general, you know. I mean, you know, let's get somebody who can actually investigate it, has the resources. I mean, not only that, but let's say not an investigator. Let's say, you know, maybe a rich white man that was involved. Somebody else with more resources than three young people would be nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Be, you know, older than a combined age of 81.
And by the way, people, that's who is doing this. I mean, three young guys on what has to be a shoestring budget are doing this. This is not, you know, all the big Hollywood studios and people with a lot of money are sitting on their asses while people, just normal citizens, are the ones doing this.
Yeah, and recently we've gotten a lot of questions like, well, who bankrolls you guys? Nobody bankrolls us, you know.
The people who support us.
Yeah, they're still wearing the same shirts they were wearing the other day.
Yeah, they've been wearing the same clothes all
Dylan,
week.
Dylan himself, he decided, you know what, I have a laptop, I have all this information, and he put it together. The man was working a job at a restaurant to support himself. That's the bankroll. Mm-hmm. I mean, me and Corey, you know, had full-time jobs. I had two up until like a month and a half ago when this thing really started to take off, and we have the opportunity to spread the information. So it's really us bankrolling it, you know, and we need more people to bankroll themselves, you know.
Right. Yeah, but I think you guys, what you guys are doing is amazing, and the way you're doing it is amazing. I'm going to hold these calls over the next one. We're only like 15 seconds from break. And one of the ones that really bothered me is Bush's blatant lie that he saw the first plane hit. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't anyone just say, he lied?
It's only on video twice, so, you know, why does anybody, why does it matter? For people who don't know that, a student named Jordan asked him what he was doing about the first plane flight, and he actually said he saw it live and he thought it was a terrible pilot.
Yeah.
And we know that's impossible.
Not once, but twice.
Yeah, not once, but twice. It's impossible.
Because the video of that impact wasn't released until after 5 p.m. that evening.
And we only have one video of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the Fred McChesney Show. We got 15 more minutes with these guys. Get your calls in, 258-8800-800-989-1480. I'll be right back. If you'd like to join the conversations, our phone numbers are 602-258-8800 and 800-989-1480. And in studio, we have the creators, the entirety of Loose Change Second Edition, Jason Burmis, Dylan Avery, and Corey Rowe. And Dylan's the one who does all the voice on it. And Jason's the one who seems to answer most of the questions because he's the researcher.
I got a big mouth, I guess.
Uh-huh. And Corey's the one who gets all the women. So
that's true.
That's his job as producer.
And Corey, if you find other work. okay, so let's see who's up next. Next up is Tim in Tempe. Hey, Tim, you're on the Fred McChesney Show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
I want to know what the connection is to Kevin Bacon. No, I'm kidding.
smart guy.
Anyway, my question is concerning... I'm sorry I didn't get to see the film the other night, but the presumption is that possibly a missile hit the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
It would have had to come from either a ship or a plane, correct?
Yeah,
or the ground. I mean,
actually, it could have been a javelin round, which is a two-man team can carry a javelin round. It costs upwards of about $750,000 for the equipment for one round to have the piece that actually locks on to whatever you're shooting it from. I mean,
shown at the
I mean, if the missile inside of a javelin can be modified, then yes, it could do that, but it would have to be significantly modified. But I would lean closer to a missile being shot by airplane.
The interesting thing is that we have Amalgam Virgo going on that same day, which is an East Coast attack on the Pentagon from a missile.
Yeah, apparently it was a cruise missile launched off a barge off the East Coast by a rogue element.
No kidding. Yeah, because I was going to say, I mean, at that point you say, okay, somebody launched the missile, and somebody may realize at some point, unless they were involved, that, oh my God, I just... you know, hit the Pentagon with a missile, and, you know, either they were eliminated or, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm finding hard to make some of these leaps. The more I hear, the closer I am to it. But
absolutely,
I mean,
man, that's
honestly,
all we want.
Though, but if someone...
The size of the conspiracy is the thing that you know, and of course it's compartmentalized, but those are just the things that just keep nagging at me, you know.
But the,
anyway,
I mean,
real quick,
inside the military, I mean, you can do things and not really realize what you're doing. I mean, the military is so large, and there's so many pieces moving at once that people on certain levels, they really don't, I mean, don't
They're
have a full skill.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll refer to, real quick, to a story that I talked about a few times on the air, which when I was in Afghanistan, right before we went home, right before we finished our tour, they told us we had to do, you know, one more mission. And so we were with CNN. There was this whole big, you know, build up to this last mission that we were going to do, and there was this whole big documentary. We carried so much ammo. I mean, we were seriously duct taping it to our legs. We flew in. We did a helicopter mission way out onto the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. When we got out there, all these buildings that were supposedly part of this terrorist training camp that we were going to clear and remove the enemy before we went home, I mean, there was no one there. The buildings were crumpled, you know, but we didn't think anything of it. So we went up there, and they're like, yeah, go ahead, guys, you know, shoot some rounds, do some stuff for the camera. So we shot some rounds, and we blew some caves up, and I didn't even really think much of it because all I was concerned about was going home. And then a couple months later, I actually got my hands on the CNN tape that had come out about that mission, and sure enough, they made it look like we were clearing the Taliban terrorist training camp. I mean, and that's just an instance of where you can be part of something and you don't even realize it just because you're such a little person on such a little level. I mean, and that's just one straw out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and actually, in the movie JFK, Kevin Costner was asked, you know, how could you keep a conspiracy of this magnitude alive? And he said, orders.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's what it comes down to. I mean, when you join the military, you sign away your rights. I mean, if you break your arm, you get arrested for destruction of government property, and you'll get fined. I mean, they honestly have you in whatever way they want you. They will twist the things. They will compile evidence to support their story no matter what. I mean, they own you from the moment you sign that line.
Mm-hmm. And out here, the Pat Tillman story is a big one, and people have followed the way that one's evolved.
That is such a big story. I mean, that's just another instance of the government using a pro football player who said, you know, I'm going to fight for America. I'm going to go ahead and do this. He goes, actually, my lieutenant went through him, was battle buddies in Ranger school with Pat Tillman. And he went over there, was part of the Ranger battalion, went over to Afghanistan, and was killed by fratricide by his own men. And the U.S. Army came out and lied about it and said that he was killed by Taliban freedom fighters in the mountains of Pakistan and Afghanistan, which was straightly not true. And then weeks later, after the men in his unit had come out, I mean, the government was like, okay, yeah, we were lying. You know, he got killed. Of course, they didn't say they were lying. They just retracted and said they had bad intelligence.
They had another investigation.
Yeah, they had another investigation that, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And they even, didn't they burn his uniform and destroy evidence?
Yeah,
Oh, yeah,
all the evidence.
They weren't lying so much as they were just telling, they weren't just
saying
things
that weren't
true.
Well, they were covering their own butts, and then they were spinning the story to say, you know, this heroic guy got killed.
They don't want him going in Ranger. I mean, when he went into, and this is what my lieutenant told me, he did not, when he joined up into the military, he wanted nothing more than to be a Ranger, to be on the ground and to fight for America, because that's why he left, you know, a multi-million-dollar football contract to go and fight Taliban. The Army offered him so much. I mean, they offered him, you know, things left and right for him to be a recruiter, because retention in the Army and the recruitment offices are not getting the enlistment that they need, and they wanted him so bad to go out and try to recruit people, because he would have been so much more of an asset to them that way than just another person pulling a finger or pulling the trigger for, you know, for the Ranger Battalion.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Let's see. All right, let's go on to another one. Jim calling from Peoria, Illinois. So, hey, Jim, you're on the Fred McChesney Show.
I have a question about the film Number Two. I saw it, and I think it was great. It was a real terrific film, very motivating, a lot of good music, good footage and stuff. But one sticking point that makes me hesitate to show it to other people, to give it to other people, is the point about cell phones. The transcript of the text of the conversations showed that the person was using an airphone, and also the visual shot of a stewardess using a phone on the wall is also probably an airphone. So the thing is, airphones are specifically designed to be used from airplanes, and they do work from high up in the air.
Oh, sir, we're not saying the airphone calls were impossible by any means whatsoever. We're not saying the Betty Young call itself was physically impossible. I mean, that's why I put that video clip in of her on an airphone, is to clear that up, what I was saying and what I wasn't. Cell phone calls at cruising altitude are impossible, and that's all we're trying to get at. And we realize the difference between air and cell phone.
And we say cell phone. We don't say, you know,
the cell phone calls were fake.
I mean, that's it.
The text of the transcript of the conversation says, I am using an airphone, and then you give the guy talking on the telephone.
Exactly, but so that's Mark. We're bringing up the inconsistencies in the call, not the fact that he was calling or not. We're not saying Mark Bingham was using a cell phone. I mean, we realize he's calling from an airphone. I mean,
we're just showing
you the evidence.
Yeah, but at the end, the closing remark is, and these calls would have been impossible.
No, I say the cell phone calls were fake.
The airphone calls are more than possible. We never dispute the fact that airphone calls are possible. We're saying cell phones, the things you carry in your pocket, those won't work at cruising altitude.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're probably right about the content of their own film, so I'd go watch it again.
Okay, another thing is people should use this to show at the public libraries. We have a public library with a beautiful video projector, huge movie-sized screen. We show monthly show clips of these videos and DVDs, and we also can get it on cable access. A lot of local cable systems have a channel called Public Access Channel, and you can just sign up to get things shown on Public Access Channel as well.
Absolutely.
So people should take advantage of that.
Oh, a lot of people have for us, thank God.
That's the next step. I mean, that's moving this 9/11 Truth Movement forward, is doing exactly that, is sending this movie or other material like it to your local government, your local media, and making them aware and you know, at least getting it to them, so when the time comes and they haven't reported it, you can say, you know, you had that information and you chose not to. It just like Amy Goodman, who says that she is, you know, consistently reporting the truth. However, she won't even touch 9/11 when we've handed her not one but two documentaries ourselves.
And
not
someone else
mention,
has handed her
to
one, too.
Not to mention the 10, 15, 20 that other people have probably handed her. And she says that, you know, a news agency should be held accountable if they're not going to report the truth when her herself is not reporting the truth. It's, you know.
And then she lied. Like, the guy that handed it to her, he was like, hey, have you heard about this or seen it? She's like, oh, no, absolutely not. When we've already handed her two copies personally.
On tape.
On tape. We've got this on tape.
Yeah, and I'm meeting with Senator Obama on Monday.
Obama.
So I'm trying to give them the videos also in person when I meet them. So
nice. Get it on film. People don't believe it unless you get it on film.
There are town hall meetings everywhere with the congressman back in the home district. People should take advantage of that opportunity. Go see the congressman, give them leaflets, reprints of information about it, and give them the DVDs, okay?
I agree. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, sir.
Sure. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Jim. Wow. So, I'd like you guys to hang around. Can you guys want to?
Oh, sure.
We'd love to.
We're filling up the board, and that's all I want. That is, as long as we're getting calls like that and people are asking, you know, the good questions, I want to keep going.
Yeah. Awesome.
We love it.
We're about a minute out from break. Can anyone cover Paul Wellstone in a minute? Because that's one that's close to
me. Yeah, Paul Wellstone was the first senator to really question the official version and say, hey, we need a real investigation into these events. And all of a sudden, his plane blows up in midair with his family in it. It was a small jet. I'm not sure how big it was, but he was basically squelched, and this was very early on, and we really haven't seen anybody big in both Congress and the Senate, aside from maybe Cynthia McKinney, possibly Ron Paul. I guess you could give Kurt Wielden maybe the benefit of the doubt, being part of the Able Danger hearings and whatnot, but we haven't seen anybody say, yeah, we need an independent investigation, not only into 9/11, but the mysterious death of Paul Wellstone, where his debris was over, I think, something like 8 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah. So that, for those of us who've been around a while, the very suspicious death of prominent liberals is a big problem. Everyone from like, gee, John Lennon's the only rock star ever shot to death. You know, gee, couldn't be anything.
Yeah, and the guy sat down and read a book right after,
exactly.
In the middle of the day.
Guy just happened to have been to Beirut by the age of 25.
Yeah.
We've all been there, haven't we? Okay, so I am glad we're going to have him for the rest of the show. This is the Fred McChesney Show here on Air America Phoenix, 1480 KPHX. Our phone numbers are 602-258-8800 and 800-989-1480. I've got the Loose Change second edition crew in here, minus one for the quick moment. We got a very busy studio today. Normally it's myself and Mike on Saturdays, and now it's just a huge crew. But this is a whole lot of fun. So, and I asked them to stay the last half hour because you guys have filled up the board, so let's just keep digging through. So next up is Bernie in Phoenix. Hey, Bernie, you're on the Fred McChesney Show.
Thank you, and I really thank you gentlemen for staying overtime. Normally I get the last call 30 seconds, and I can't say it all.
By the way, me too. Thank you, guys.
I've got a question that will always bug me about this regarding our Air Force. Now, the East Coast has got a multitude of naval air bases and Air Force bases, yet if memory serves me right, the two scrambled jets were dispatched out of Bangor, which is a heck of a long way away. Now, Andrews Air Force Base, I know, is a MATS center, but every time Air Force One flies, it always flies with a military escort. There's got to be more than just two F-14s or two F-16s. The other part that gets me is Flight 93 that went down in Pennsylvania. Ohio Air National Guard, supposedly unarmed on a training mission, was diverted from over Lake Erie to do an intercept. Now, not only was there no debris from that plane, and as the plane goes down and crashes, things go up in the air. You know, there were trees in the area, yet there was nothing showing any debris. I remember hearing two reports, and then it just dried up completely over a major network, that our Air Force had down one of the hijacked jets. Can you gentlemen comment on that or fill me in better?
Okay.
Well, I do know that there was a report, which was actually confirmed by Richard Clark in his book, Against All Enemies, that allegedly a plane crashed on the Ohio-Kentucky border. And this is interesting because if you look at the official flight path of Flight 77, it actually flies all the way out to the Ohio-Kentucky border and then disappears from radar completely. They draw a dotted line back because they have absolutely no idea where the plane went. As for an intercept over Lake Erie, I haven't heard anything about that, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise
me. No, it was the two National Guard, Ohio National Guard that were over Lake Erie that were dispatched to do an intercept.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about that either, but just the point that, you know, it's the most militarized airspace in the world over the Pentagon, and it's also restricted airspace over Manhattan where these things took place. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that there were no jets scrambled. I mean, it's beyond the pale.
I find it very hard to believe that as supposedly equipped as we are and ready, we had only two on-duty fighter pilots for the whole East Coast.
Don't find it hard to believe, just don't believe it.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Very well
put.
Thank
you. Okay. Thank you. Our one open line at 258-8800. Next up is Michelle in Sun City. Hi, Michelle. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just wondering about the men that there was a man on the Flight 93 in Pennsylvania that he was talking to his wife.
That's not true, ma'am. You're referring to Todd Beamer, correct?
Right.
Yeah, Todd Beamer never talked to his wife. In fact, he only talked to a Verizon operator for, what, 19 minutes, Dylan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she actually offered to patch him through to his wife, and he didn't really want to talk to his wife because I guess it wasn't all that important. And then his wife is the one that makes the multi-million book deal where Todd Beamer's having dreams of a plane hitting the White House.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what about the let's roll part?
It's a total joke.
It's fiction.
An American slogan to get us motivated to do something about terrorism.
It was a war cry.
Oh, my. So he wasn't real. I just don't get it.
Well,
I know, it's tough.
What we have right now, again, is a 19-minute phone call to a Verizon operator, and what we have is a transcript for that. And we have a white
We don't even have an
profiteer.
Official transcript. We don't even have transcript. We have bits and pieces of conversation with Alice Bingham, which is Mark's mother. I mean, we don't have any actual transcripts of any phone calls except for Betty Young and, I believe, Madeline Sweeney. Parts of that were released. Other than that, we simply have bits and pieces that were leaked out to the media.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then I know we saw the movie the other night and we were very impressed and we thank you for doing it. And so they never found the bodies and there's no clue where those people went.
I mean, all you have to do is take a look at the video. There's no bodies, tail section, fuselage, luggage. Seats,
right.
There's nothing there.
There's
no
evidence of a commercial plane
crash.
Yeah,
there's not even a dark streak, like other plane crashes.
Except for the red handkerchief that supposedly these hijackers were wearing on their head, not burned, not scratched, not singed.
Showed up four-plus years ago.
Still tied in a knot, and a license plate from...
Not a license.
They had, a Ziploc bag full of the personal effects of CeCe Lyles. I mean, they had her driver's license. They had a Marriott hotel card. I mean, they basically had her entire wallet in a Ziploc bag, and it was pristine.
Mm.
No evidence that it went through
a
fireball in a fiery crash.
No evidence that it crashed, at 600 miles
per hour.
And
again, this was just recently released. This is not something that was around.
Yeah, they're releasing all these photographs.
Didn't something similar happen with one of the hijackers' passports in New York?
Oh, man. It's ridiculous.
Salami. Unbelievable. They're telling us that they can't recover the black boxes, yet
this paper passport
survived this unbelievable tragedy.
It's absolutely ridiculous, the kind of things that they expect us to believe. I mean, to believe 9/11 the way that the government presented it to us, I mean, you would have to believe a couple hundred different complete coincidences happened on a single day.
Not just coincidence, scientific impossibilities.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's brushed off as coincidence.
Just as an example, I've seen a Pentagon picture where the plane itself clearly vaporized in the thin air, the passengers, everything vaporized in the thin air, yet there's a little podium sitting there with an open book on it. You've probably seen the same picture.
Yeah, that was in plain sight.
Why wouldn't at least the pages burn, right?
Yeah.
Right next to where it was hot enough to incinerate a plane into actual thin air.
Exactly.
And yet there's paper sitting right there unburned, even unsinged.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what they're asking you to believe. And I think Corey nailed it the best. Just don't believe it. Makes it a whole lot simpler, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks.
Okay. Next up is, let's see, 602-258-8800. Next up is Steve in Yuma, Arizona. Hey, Steve, you're on the Fred McChesney Show.
How you guys doing?
Good.
All right.
Good. I appreciate the work you guys are doing, trying to put out all the information that should be out there. I just want to get that out there. My question is more of an opinion from you guys. I am an employee for DHS/TSA, and I was prior military before this. When this happened, when 9/11 happened, I wanted to go back and kind of serve my country, but not in a military fashion. So I chose to apply for TSA, and thankfully was accepted. I am proud to be part of that. As far as the security portion of it, I just want to know what your opinion of security is today, vice what it was, you know, let's say the day of 9/11. Is it, you know, non-existent, existent?
Sure, man. Real quick. I mean, thank you.
Airport,
that's a very good question. One we actually haven't gotten before. Airport security is pretty much as much of a joke as it was before 9/11. I mean, you could pretty much walk through security with anything that's not a metal object. I walked through it the other day with my shoes, my belt, and my watch on, and it had no problem going off. I mean, it's obvious that they don't search your bag, but yet they put a TSA inspection sticker or an inspection, label into every suitcase to give you the illusion that they're checking these suitcases when it's obvious that nothing's been rifled through. Or, I mean, I honestly don't see airport security as being too much better than it was prior to September 11th.
And not only airport security, let's talk about security in general. If there was a real terrorist threat, the first thing we should have done is militarize our borders on Canada and Mexico so that terrorists couldn't get into our nation easily, because the border system is probably the biggest joke in America. I mean, you can literally run across it.
Yeah, we work side by side with Border Patrol at our airport, and you know, I see some of the guys that work there, and they are good people.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, again, they're, you know, just like myself and the other DHS members, you know, we do answer to the government. I mean, mm-hmm. we have to do what they tell us to do.
Right.
Without fear of losing my job, I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, man. That's a good question.
Yeah, it's a very, very good question.
Thank you very much, Steve. Okay, now let's go right over to another Steve in Phoenix. There's an open line at 258-8800. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi. I want to thank you guys for your hard work in serving the light of truth. I happen to be an independent director photographer here in town, and I deeply appreciate your effort. I'm wondering if you guys have approached anyone like Frontline, because this really needs to be seen nationally, because the scientific evidence is just so overwhelming. And I feel that if people see this on a national scale,
thank you,
we can tip this lie that has created this five-year nightmare that we've been in.
Absolutely.
I totally agree, and I do have your information. You're going to be getting a call from me later in the week when we return
Excellent.
To New York.
Yeah, it's a very outstanding
idea. I mean,
idea.
You know, that's exactly the type of thing we need, is national media exposure.
Yeah, I can't tell you how moved I have been by seeing this piece. I feel it's probably one of the most important things that's been done, and we need to get it broadcast.
Well, thank you very much.
And we're working on it.
Yeah,
we really are.
We got a couple things in the works.
Just another point, you know, we're going to be down there at Ground Zero this year. We're going to be in Investigate 9/11 shirts. And every major media outlet in the world is going to be there.
On 9/11.
It's 5-year anniversary, and we love
5-year anniversary.
Yeah, we love 5s, 10s, and 20s. The 5-year anniversary is going to be huge. It's Monday, September 11th, 2006. And we need to be there. We need to be there in solidarity. We need to be handing out DVDs, information.
Right.
You know, we don't need to be yelling at people. We need to respect these dead people and bring their murderers to justice. And that is the bottom line. And this is our opportunity. You know, the news media won't be able to ignore us because they'll have to cover the memorial. If there's enough of us there, we can really make an impact.
Yeah, you got 5 months to take off that Monday.
Yeah Monday.
Okay, but that some sort of peaceful protest that needs to get attention.
Oh, and it will. You'll see it. You'll see it. I mean, we're out here, you know, we're pushing it now.
We're pushing it nationwide.
April. We're going to be on a nationwide tour all summer. You know, we're going to be pushing this so much.
Okay, I want to get you some of my contact.
Thank you, Steve.
Awesome. I'll give you a call.
Do they have your contact information?
Yeah, I have it in my wallet.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay,
this is the Fred McChesney Show, going into our last break here on Air America Phoenix, 1480 KPHX.
At
blew it. First time I said the old station's name. Air America Phoenix, KPHX, 1480. Phone numbers are 602-258-8800 and 800-989-1480. And again, it is my distinct pleasure to be here with the guys who created Loose Change, second edition. And right now, Dylan would like to say a little something.
Yeah, real quick. I just got a little text message from Rob Revere over at Revere Radio Network. Right now, this show is being rebroadcast. It's being streamed live because we usually have a radio show on right now, but obviously couldn't do it. So ReviewerRadioNetwork.com, I mean, it's awesome. They play an hour of all kinds of stuff, and it's uncut, no commercials. You just do whatever.
A lot of Patriots on there.
A lot of Patriots on
there. You can listen to us every week.
And you can listen to us every Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m., you know.
And they even have an archive
over there.
And they even have archives. I mean, it's an awesome radio network, and it's too bad that they don't get, you know, they don't get more exposure.
So you compete directly with my show, is what?
Well, not really. It's internet radio. It's internet radio.
It's not radio. You're safe, man. Don't worry.
I'm not sure safe's the right word. No, but believe me, I love what you guys are doing. My brother and I were Kennedy. We started the Kennedy, and honestly, it was real innocent how it started. Just one little newspaper, and we just both said, you know, some always bothered me about that, and just started reading. It was probably like this, where everywhere you look, it's all. It's just crap.
So yep. Evident.
Yeah. It's apparent.
Have you seen JFK 2, the Bush connection, yet?
No.
You really need to see it, man. It is the creme de la creme of JFK documentaries, let me tell you.
When you get enough bad news, do you eventually just explode?
I mean, not really. I mean,
I'm really tired. Nothing surprises us anymore.
We're going to be really, really cynical in 20 years.
Yeah. You're talking about a five-year nightmare, and as soon as somebody said that, I go, no, for me, it's been 25. Since Reagan took office, this has been a friggin' nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... okay. All right. Let's get to the callers then. Let's see. Who is on the longest? I don't read this new screen as well. Okay. Next up is Hank. Hi, Hank. You're on the air.
Hey, Hank.
Hello, Hank. You're on the Fred McChesney Show.
Thank you for the second edition. But what I want to know if you have any new evidence.
Oh, we have tons.
There's so much more.
We just got our hands and interviewed the man who shot the first 12 minutes of footage available of the Pentagon, a crisp close-up picture of the hole confirming that it was a 16-foot hole, and that was it. We had this on tape, too, and he's like, I could have jumped into that hole. And that's just one of the many things that have just come to light.
Excellent. Will there be a third edition, then?
There are things in the works right now, so we'll see what happens.
There will be a revision edition.
There will be a revision, yes.
Is there a Loose Change theme park in the future?
No, there is not a Loose Change theme park.
If there is, drag us out.
We feel guilty about doing T-shirts and hats. I mean,
we don't want it to make it appear that we're selling out. I mean, the T-shirts, we've got the designs up on the webpage so people can print them out. I mean, we want hundreds upon thousands of people at Ground Zero wearing these T-shirts.
Well, I will be there with a few friends.
Awesome.
That's what we need, man.
Thank you very much.
Spread the word. If we can just get, you know, if we could get one out of every town, one person out of every town in the United States,
we got 10 people from every state, that's 500 people right there, and that's just 10.
Exactly.
If we can get 100 people from every state, I mean, wow.
Right.
I mean, that'd be the first major 9/11 protest. Sorry to cut you off.
I have been dealing with some information on the JFK assassination, which is in the hands of... some big researchers that aren't. Anyway, I will warn you guys, the IRS will probably come after you.
No, we got a good account.
We've already got a really good account, and we're way on top of that. They can come after us. They can check our taxes all day long.
Good, because they will do, it'll come at you, tap your phone. They will do everything.
I'm sure that's already happened.
And bring it on. We're legitimate. We are honest, good-hearted, you know, 22, 23, and 26-year-old men. We're here doing the right thing. If someone is going to come after us and attack us for what we're doing, then come on, bring it on.
How the hell you ever expect to succeed with a plan like that?
Absolutely.
Haven't you been paying attention? Stealing, cheating, lying. That's how you get ahead in this country.
No, we're going to try something.
We're going to try to revise that.
We're going to try and, you know, actually make this America again if, you know, you guys don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. You don't mind.
So naive. The naivete of youth.
Exactly.
You're truly patriot.
Yes.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and boy, definitely can't wait to see you at Ground Zero.
Yes.
Can't wait. That's what we want. We want lots of people out at Ground Zero. Okay. Next up is Ray in Phoenix. Hi, Ray. You're on the Fred McChesney Show.
Hi, guys. First, Fred, do you know if you've got any bumper stickers for the new station?
We do not.
All letters and such.
We got a few microphones and we're still working on lots of things. So go
ahead. All right. On the 9/11 portion, I was wondering if the guys know if there's any. I've already ordered their new DVD on the internet. And I was wondering if they know if there's a DVD out there that shows the jumpers. We saw it some on the news right after the happening, but I haven't been able to find a DVD yet that actually shows that.
I don't even like to look at the jumpers. I mean, that's just such a horrible, horrible aspect of 9/11, and I was very, very careful not to put in any footage of that.
Yeah.
But if you want to actually see it, I would recommend HBO In Memoriam, which is that Rudy Giuliani documentary that was released. It's got a lot of footage from right below, basically, because that's where Giuliani was at the time. The other one would be 7 Days in September, which was assembled by Camera Planet. Those are the two that would come to mind.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks,
Seven
Ray.
Days in September and
7 days in September and In Memoriam.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I want to ask a completely off-the-wall question, only because you guys are New Yorkers and you're immersed in this, and I want to know how widespread this knowledge is. How many people in New York, and do you three guys know that Rudy Giuliani was married to his second cousin for 14 years?
Now we know.
You did not know that.
I did not know
that. Isn't it amazing at how good? Isn't it amazing? And he got his marriage annulled to her because he said he thought he was his third cousin for those 14 years. Isn't it amazing how good the right wing is at hiding their dirt?
Oh, man.
I'm going, if that were Clinton, tell me we wouldn't know.
Oh,
you know.
Man, forget about it.
So when I tell people, Giuliani, cousin, marry her. You want to think, Giuliani's the guy who goes to family reunions looking for action.
I can't take much more, man.
We only got about four
please,
more minutes.
Please stop.
It'll be
I'm just saying all the information.
Yeah, I mean, all the things that
we live this stuff every day, and I mean, every day we learn something new and disgusting about these people.
But we have to realize, no matter what, if Rudy Giuliani's the answer, you're asking the wrong question, no matter what.
We'll see him on a presidential ballot.
Yeah, you know
future.
We will, and that's sick. It's either him or Schwarzenegger.
Not
more people.
I'm telling you, the what'll derail him is if we can label him cousin marrier. I'm serious. People, that's what wins in America. The guy married his friggin' cousin. That's as far as
I'm with you, man.
I don't know.
I'm all with you, but
Arnold's done some gay porn shoots. It doesn't seem to bother anybody, you know? I mean, come on.
Now you're really depressing me. Okay, let's go out to Sam and Chandler, see if we can get through these calls. Hey, Sam, you're on the Fred McChesney Show.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
I'm just curious, what's the connection with this Mastawi? Is he just like a fall guy or a stooge fit in?
He's a couple of different things. PR twist, man. Just look at everything that's coming out right now with the Mastawi trial, the Flight 93 Tribeca premiere, the World Trade Center movie. It's and the new release of evidence of Flight 93 with, just absolute ridiculous evidence. Mm-hmm. And transcripts, we don't know what's going on inside that courtroom. We're supposed to rely on faith-based transcripts of what's going on. We don't have pictures. We have drawings of what's going on. And supposedly, Mastawi, MSNBC reported that he's wearing a stun belt and that the U.S. Marshals have control. If he gets too rowdy, they'll just push a button and shut him up.
And he's saying all the right things.
Interesting thing is he'd never said this before in the past couple of years when he was on trial.
Yeah, he had other trials where they actually said he had nothing to do with 9/11, and they moved those along. I have a CNN report from a couple of years ago where he's cleared of it, and you know they talked to his, about his Al-Qaeda connections and his other terrorist plots, but say that he wasn't going to be in the loop. And they also, around the same time, had a separate 20th hijacker in their midst. Like, they actually named another guy. It's unreal and just falls off the radar.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the 72 virgins in this life for what he's doing right now, and then some other person gets the death penalty, as it were.
Yeah,
thank
probably.
You very much, Seb. We got to move on. Okay, next up is Frosty in Phoenix. Hi, Frosty. You're on the air.
Hi. I just have some quick questions, and then I'll take
very
them off
quick.
The air. One is to describe the detonations again for the people who haven't heard that part of it. And then the next one is the people who allegedly were on the planes, the hijackers.
Okay, we'll try to take that quickly. That's all we can take for right now.
Who've been seen since.
Okay. Thank you,
thank
Frosty.
You.
Well, the two things that she's referring to, our video does a great job of showing you the squibs or explosive blasts coming off the sides 20, 30, 40, and 60 floors below this initial collapse. And the other thing that she's referring to is that the BBC and the London Guardian and the Telegraph actually confirmed that at least 8 of the hijackers were still alive. And I believe those reports came out a couple weeks after the initial attack.
2 weeks.
Yeah, it was on the 23rd or something like that.
Okay, let's try to... Boy, I'm going to see if we can get any more in here. Hey, Carl, you got something fast for the guys?
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I was in your audience Tuesday night, and that gentleman in the front row made the critique that you didn't really finish the thing.
Oh, we didn't come to a conclusion?
I'm just wondering if you can't wrap it back to the American Revolution and just put in some old patriotic drum rolls in there.
come back.
Hey, man, we'll take it into consideration.
Yeah, we'll definitely take it into consideration.
We're working on it now. It's in the works.
Thank you, Carl. That's it. We can't get any more calls today. Sorry, Barbara, Brian in Scottsdale, and Bill in Glendale. Boy, normally I like to get to all the calls, but today you guys
send
just
us an email
too much. Yeah, I want to thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks
for
real quick, once again, I mean, if you want to support us, you go to our website. It's www.loosechange911.com. You know, you get 10 DVDs from us for $30. I mean, they're absolute lowest cost possible to you, so you can hand them out to your friends and family. Or if you just want to support us, buy one of our regular DVDs for $17.95. We'll take care of the shipping, and you know, just copy it, make 10 copies, make 100 copies, give it out, send the Google link. I mean, the information is out there, folks. Just go out and, I mean,
go find it.
We're out here doing something, and if you know about this information and you're not doing something about it, you need to question yourself.
Okay, so thank you very much, Phoenix. I'll be back here next week at the same time from 4 till 6 p.m. without these guys. They're getting on a plane going home for a well-deserved vacation, hopefully. Just work. Okay, but thank you again very much, Dylan Avery, Jason Burmis, and Corey Rowe. Thank you, and Phoenix, good night. I'll see you next week.